on the Shalosh Regalim before Duchenik. It's also minig. It's also a minig Eretz Yisrael. That was the Chassim in Eretz Yisrael. We had in Chol Chutz L'Aretz, it became the Nusach HaMachzor Shechinos HaLetzion. So we have certain occasions that they had their own Nusach. They had a different Shmon Esrei. It was styled differently. But all minig is committed to Bobo. But that's dependent when you're dealing with Minhogim. So Machloikas. And then, So in Chutz L'Aretz, we know you're going to Chach by Chutz L'Aretz. But here, L'Chaira, it's not, there's no machloikas in din. It's an afkamin and metzias. He's like saying, listen, you know, when do you put on the steam? You know, we're going to make a municipal law when you have to put on the steam, right? So it says here from October 15th until the chweis, April 15th, March 15th, whatever it says in the law, that's when you have to give steam, assuming the temperature is below this and this amount. You're going to go to another place, which has a different weather pattern. So they're going to... It would be ridiculous to go to South Africa. This is the warmer time of the year. So we're coming to the warmer time. You're going through spring and summer now. So that's not the time you put the steam on. You're not going to write a law. Well, okay, we're in Chutz L'Aretz, so we're making steam from October 15th until April 15th. We're going to steam the whole summer, the whole winter, put the steam off.
No.
So this is not totally, it's not a machlokes in din. There's a metzias nafkamina. There's really no machlekes at all. Whenever you need rain, we'll mispala for rain. And Eretz Yisrael had one geographic circumstance. One of the meteorological factors affecting Eretz Yisrael in one way. The geography and the meteorology were different in Babel. So they had, but there was not a machlekes in principle. It's not a machlekes how we should be knowing. Everyone will be knowing, yes, Chachme Bobo, yeah, Eretz Yisrael, you should start from Zayin Cheshvan, because that's when they need it. Yes, Chachme Eretz Yisrael, they would have told you, in Bobo, they should start 60 days after the equinox, because that's when they need the rain. That's what should have happened. Now, if that was what would have happened, now, we might say that there's a difference. It's not dependent on each guy. Listen, I'm in the hardware business, so for me, it's bad when it rains. People don't come out to buy things, they don't fix things outdoors, so the more sunny days, the better for me. My neighbor down the block, he has a farm, so he's growing strawberries, so the more days it rains, it's better for him. So we're not going to have each guy go to shul and daven for his need, you know. The strawberry farm will save the same tal, and I'm in the hardware business, I'll save the same broch. I don't want to know about rain. So we can't have it dependent on yechidim, that's true. But L'chaira, it should have come out that if an entire country needs rain, so they should be mispala for rain when they need it. Aruch HaShulchan writes, well, he lived in Russia, and Russia in his time, Russia was the grain basket of the world. In the year, in the last decade before the communist revolution, it's hard to imagine, but Aruch HaRusa, who apparently once wrote a paper on it, it was the breadbasket of the world, the Ukraine. They supplied wheat for the entire world. Along came the communists, they couldn't feed themselves. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the one was the planting season. Says the planting season, they had summer wheat. After Pesach was the season for wheat. He says, in the summertime, we need rain. In the wintertime, we have no need. It was too cold in Russia, nothing grew anywhere. He says, there's no need, rain is useless in the wintertime. There's no purpose whatsoever. Nothing grows there, I guess. It's too harsh, the climate. America is a blessed land. You know, the climate is by and large not very harsh. So we have winter wheat, we have summer wheat, we have summer crops, winter crops. We could just rain probably the whole year in this country. It's good for us. So it ought to come out that each Medina should be koveya according to what's good for it. So why does it come out that we have this strange practice that everybody in the world, in Eretz Yisrael, is from Zayin Cheshvan, and everybody in Chutz L'Aretz is from 60 days after the Tekufa? It's Meicha Teisi. And the Rambam indicated in the Parash of Mishnayos that it should follow the weather patterns. The growing patterns, the world of agriculture in that place in the world, in that Medina. The Rosh was quite vociferous about this in his time. I don't know if it was in the 13th century. And he did not like this idea of how we conduct to the same town. But he says nobody wanted to listen to him. He didn't get any place. But we don't know why. And nobody really has a good answer why. We don't. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's like it was as if a baskel came out from Shemayim to say this is what you have to do. That's it. You know, he says he can't change it, and that anyone that does differently is roi la'inish. Talks very harshly to Aruch HaShulchan. Rav Moshe picks up on this and says the following. He says, learning the sugya, you ought to come out like the Rosh. Like you learned this sugya, the halacha, like you learned every other sugya in Shas. You ought to pass, you ought to pass like the Rosh. This is just eminently logical and correct. But the minig is not that way. You can't overturn the minig. But, so Rav Moshe says, the halacha says, that for a milsa do a shchiyah, for an unusual case, there's no din of minig. So since historically, people did not travel too frequently from one medina to the next, from Eretz Yisrael to Bobo and Chutz La'aretz, it was not an everyday occurrence, because travel was very, very difficult. So he says, we don't have a minig, what people that travel from one medina to the next to do. So he says, Mamela, if you come from Eretz Yisrael, and it's after Zion Cheshvan, and you're coming to New York, you should say the same town. Why? Because we really should be saying it too. Except for the fact that the Rosh is right. What can we do? So we can't change what, you know, what we understand. And our understanding, the Rosh is right. That's what we did. This is lead rain, so we should be davening. We don't, because that's the minik. But for a guy who came from Chutz La'aretz, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, it was a milsa de lo shchiach on all the deiros. It was uncommon. So Mamela, there's no kvias of a minik. So Mamela, he's ukme adinam. So he should start from Zayin Cheshvan. But this is, then there's another aspect, which
the
maybe I...
Follow the, like when we draw the view of the man here, or whatever...
If he started already in Eretz Yisrael, if it's already Zayin Cheshvan, and he's here temporarily, then he just, Promotion says, he starts from Zayin Cheshvan. There's every type of sheet imaginable in the Achronim, what to do. Some say to follow the local practice, some say to follow where you want to live, where you're intending to live. We'll talk some of it as we go along. That is another thing that's strange, but this, maybe I have an idea to answer here for Bikasha. The second thing that's strange is, so we don't know why in the northern hemisphere of the world we don't follow the Rosh. And in each medina, it should be adjusted according to what that according to what that medina needs.
Who would decide that?
It's the minig of Klal Yisrael already. The Beis Yosef said it was the minig already. And that's it.
No. Who would decide how to adjust it?
The same way we decide. We have a few Chachma Yisrael. Listen, we could decide on a few major poskim. You know, that we decide. What they decided anything else? Well, we decided a lot. We have a lot bigger shaylas than the recitation of a Saint Talmud. Baruch Hashem, the Rosh and Chachma Adoros, and they were decided. Somewhere back in 1900 or 1910, in that era, I don't remember which year, but there was one year. The Tor Shulchan Aruch gives the layout for the calendar Ad Bias Hagoyim. So there was one year. There was a mistake in the Tor. And if nobody grabbed it, all the calendars would have been made, and the calendar would have been wrong. So the Chazon Ish was the one, the Rebbe, there were others, but the Chazon Ish is known. The Chazon Ish publicized like a year or so, 2 years before, that the Luach is messed up. And there's a printing, you know, we realize but something's wrong with the Simon of the Torah to write the year, and it has to be this way. And there was this Kabbal Dvorov. I have a kasha that I don't know. I want to know who was the first calendar maker for every year. Who was the calendar maker? Yeah, I mean, listen, there's even one yeshiva that's, you know, got Yom Kippur on the wrong day, you know, had it a day, whatever it was. And they had to send out a correction page, you know, to get Yom Kippur back on the right day. Okay, but who actually makes, you know, it's hard to imagine that we Jews actually manage to put out one calendar, we all observe the same calendar. It's not Jewish, you know. So I'm trying to figure out who makes the calendar. Who's the first calendar for every year? I don't know. You know, did there somebody, whatever, Makubal that sits in a cave someplace that lives is going to live until Mashiach Tzidkenu, and that was the cave, he puts out the calendar. I just don't know how it happens. But there was actually a time that the calendar, according to the Torah, would have been messed up, and the Chazon Ish was Megalit, and that's it, prevented, you know, the calendar from being messed up. So the Chachmei HaDoros would deal with the problem. But the second kasha is what happened to the southern hemisphere of the world. Now, this is a particularly vexing issue, because the Zohar is quite clear that the world was round. The Zohar did not think the world was flat. There may have been Chachmei Yisrael in different Doros that may have believed the world was flat. That could have happened. But in the Zohar, we find that the Zohar says the world is like Kikadu, it's roundish. So that is Mechayev, the fact that if you understand that there will be different seasons in different places in the world. And it's also hard to imagine what, that no one from the southern hemisphere ever made it to the northern hemisphere in ancient times. Also strange. You know, people managed to travel all over the world. So what, they didn't know there was a southern hemisphere? And with different weather?
And they say Talamata December 4th.
Like they America. Say everything like we do.
Only Africa would have been important to most of Jewish history.
Whatever would have been important. But Lamai said it would have known there was a different Metzius, right? So well, why is it, the halacha should have addressed it. Good, so maybe it would be okay 1,000 years from then, but why did you, it's hard for me to imagine they didn't know there was a southern hemisphere. Well, no, nobody in Africa made it up from sub-Saharan Africa all the way up to North Africa. Stavridim, well, always people that made it up there, one way or the other, went down and came back. As forbidding as it was, well, nobody traveled. Hard to imagine.
Are there other things like that about above the Arctic Circle, how do you dive in and
okay, whatever that
they don't talk about that either.
Okay, so the Chazon Ish, to the contrary, the Chazon Ish shows that in two of the Rishonim directly discussed the issues of the international date line. I forgot, there's a sefer Bino Le'itim, I think, I don't remember what it's called, I forgot, that's from the not the name, but there's a sefer and he directly discusses it, and the Chazon Ish proves from the Baal HaMor in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yetes that the Baal HaMor agrees with that Shita, and he shows the Kuzari agrees with that Shita. So he has, I think, three Rishonim that directly deal with the issue. And they deal directly, one of them directly, head on with when the day begins and the issue of the date line. So they were aware that it's such a problem. But we don't in the northern hemisphere is exactly what to do when you get to. There is some Shiloh, but they're upsucking for that too. But it's not, okay. But the fact of the southern hemisphere is hard to imagine. You didn't have to go all the way up to the top of the world to find out about it. So I have a thought on this here for the problem. I have a siddur, what do you say? Oh, there we go. Yes, we have a siddur, okay. Now, we have two neschois in the bracha. Morech aleinu, what's the rak? Shem alakinu sashem alazav, says, come on, Yisrael, what's all the taiva? We say in bracha, we say in talu modu lebracha apnei adama, b'sab einu, what goes next? Mituvecha or mituva? There is a big difference in meaning. Sab einu mituvecha means referring to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Sab einu mituva, which is the nusach agro, is referring to Eretz Yisrael. So comes out, the Gemara says in Tainus that all Parnosa for the world comes through Eretz Yisrael. The Broch of Parnosa comes through Eretz Yisrael. Somehow, I don't know, when they made the train there, they forgot the minute in the Eretz Yisrael and express stop. The train doesn't stop there, you know. It just passes through and brings the Broch to the rest of the world, you know. Forgot to stop in Eretz Yisrael. But Parnosa, the Broch of Parnosa, the Gemara says in Tainus, all comes from Eretz Yisrael. That's the tzinor of Parnosa in the world. So that Bechlal is not only the Risavena Mituva is vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael directly, but it could be even in a deeper sense it affects all of us, because the brocha that comes to Eretz Yisrael is a brocha for the whole world. Risavena Mituva. So if we're talking about, in this bracha, about Eretz Yisrael, and particularly just the Metzias, the physical Eretz Yisrael, not only the bracha that comes from it, so then I understand what happened. So if we're being with Palo for rain, it's for Eretz Yisrael, not for Salena Mitimecha, for Salena Mituva, so then Mamela, they ignored the southern hemisphere, it wasn't important. Because the whole Birchas HaGeshomim was made ultimately good. It has to affect us, that's true. But it was made that this man that's good for Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ikar Avrocha was for the Paros of Eretz Yisrael. There's Mamela, and that man is when they made it. In other words, those that lived, I would say, listen, you'll ask me, so why in Bovel did they have a different? It was not such a big nafkamina. You know, a few weeks more, a few weeks less, you know. So they, for the reasons that we talked about last week, that tefillahs of the berchais of me'ein berchais of shakol yoyim v'yoyim, that we thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the events, so we mispalel according to what happens now. So in Bovel, they put it off a little bit later than Eretz Yisrael. But the Maisa that came out, the Iker, the Maisa that davening the whole winter the same time as for Eretz Yisrael too. So maybe that they were willing to do. But in other words, to totally change it, that the whole tefillah's kshomah are going to be at a time when it's not matim for Eretz Yisrael, that perhaps was beyond the purview of what Chazal wanted to do. Because the Iker, let's say, if we'll assume the Gros Nusach of the Brocha, B'Sabeinu Mituvah, that the Rosh is oriented to Eretz Yisrael, so then the world should be mispalel for Kshomim when Eretz Yisrael needs Kshomim. A minor adjustment, we're a few weeks different than Eretz Yisrael, okay, Mamela, whatever it is. But that's perhaps a mahalach in this. Maybe there's a mahalach here to explain this problem, why there's no difference of the northern and southern hemisphere.
Isn't it clear that they had two dams, either Eretz Yisrael or Bavel?
Yeah.
So Bavel just represents the rest of the world. I mean, what the logic of that is, I don't know, but so whatever Babel was, that's what the rest of the world is following.
But the Shaila is why? At least Babel needed rain there. So we're talking it as time, you know. So that's the Shaila why. That's, you know, it's a difficult problem, as I say. However you slice it, the problem is difficult. This was just a thought today that maybe if we're tied to Eretz Yisrael, instead of Kovea, then in the season when Eretz Yisrael needs rain, that's what everybody's most powerful rain. You gotta go. If you ever been in South Africa, I'm going to say, in July, they go around with sweaters. It's cold, you know, January, summer. I mean, the wind is not harsh there. It's similar probably to Eretz Yisrael, something like that. It's not a harsh winter, but it's winter. I was there in South Africa in July and August, and one day I'm in an office building, and a guy runs into an office where I'm sitting, and he asked the guy in the business, he says, how's the air conditioning doing? The air conditioning is the steam in South Africa. You know, the winter was coming, starting, you know, so they're checking out the heating system to make sure the heating system is working properly. So we have the Minhag Eretz Yisrael, we have Minhag Bovel, for reasons I said that are somewhat obscure. And then there's all the questions which revolve around the fact of a person that's living someplace else other than which is his home country. So what the din is, and there are all types of dinim. There are those that say to follow wherever you are. Just wherever you are, that's it. Some say it depends. Are you staying here for a year's time? If you're staying here for a year's time, then you're dependent on the crops of this time, because I'm going to live in this Medina for a year, so then I should follow it. If I'm staying here for less than that, so then it reverts back to the din, the regular din of Minhogim, that I should be mispalo for the place that I live, because I'm a Ben Eretz Yisrael, I'm a Ben Bovel, so I'm a Meila, since I'm going back. So we have, as I say, there are endless dais on this subject. I mean, the only prescription, at least for a Ben Chutzlar, is the ghost Eretz Yisrael at this time of the year. The V'yaytzi Chola Deis was, I know the Stipler formulated it, and I see also recently in Rosh Lema Zalman Zatzal had a very similar formulation. So what's the real Shaila? The Shaila really comes down to one thing. Vis-a-vis this halacha of the same Tal, who's considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael and who's considered a Ben Chutz Laretz? I'm visiting Eretz Yisrael and I'm going to go back. So do I follow the regular dinim that since I'm planning to go home, I'm a Ben America, I'm not a Ben Eretz Yisrael? or since right now I'm living here and I'm dependent on what happens here, if the crops go down the tubes, then I'm not going to be good for me because I'm living here now. So, Mamela, I'm considered in this din. Listen, I'm a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Listen, I'm dependent on the agriculture of Eretz Yisrael. The guy of the Israeli that came to America is dependent on the agriculture of America. So, the real Shaila is, so how, what's your status? Are you, when you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and you're only there temporarily, are you considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael in this halacha or Ben Chutz Laretz? That's the real bottom line. So the Stipler said, if you want to be, the way to be Yitzir of Shlomo Zalman, if you want to be Yitzir, if you're a Chutz Laretz person visiting Eretz Yisrael, you want to be Yitzir L'chol HaDayis. So in Baruch Aleinu, you say the same bracha. And when you get to Shema Koleinu, you say the same Tal Umoto L'bracha L'vnei Eretz Yisrael. So whatever you are, if you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael in Shemayim, you're bespalov for yourself. If not, it's just for the people of Eretz Yisrael and not for you. So then you Yitzir Chol HaDayis. Now what happens if you're out of sync? Because let's say you become, what I mean out of sync, because you're a Shliach Tzibur. So now you have a problem. So what do you do? You can't use this trick. This you can do when you're davening as a Yochid. So what to do when you're davening? When you're davening for the Amud. So this touches another whole question, which we're not going to touch in Rosh Hashanah until we get to the very end of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The very last sugya, I think, in Rosh Hashanah, so there it talks about Chazaras HaShatz. So the Gemara seems to say there's a Machlokes Tanoim what the reason for Chazaras HaShatz is. And according to one Shitas Tanoim, the purpose of Chazaras HaShatz is Lahaster Tvilosa. You get a dry run before you do the Chazaras HaShatz. I guess some people have Amos of the Tzibur. You know, they get nervous when they do something in public. So this way, right before, and you get a dry run. And then, you know, and then you start, you know, out loud. So you just went through the whole Shemon Esrei already. Now, is this Svar Lahaster Tvilosa, or the simple pshat in the sugya seems to be a Machlokes of the Tanoim in that sugya. For reasons that are less than clear to us, and Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal did not learn the sugya that way, and I have a strange feeling the Briskas didn't learn the sugya that way either. That's my assumption. In their sheet, this is Chazaras HaShatz, the way they learned the Rambam. So Ramosha doesn't tell us exactly how we learned the sugya, but Ramosha learned that the Svar of Lahaster Tvilosa was somehow is l'chol, all according to all the Tanayim, it's a factor. Now, what's the nafkamina? And this, there's a sharp machlekes among recent gedolim about this. Ramosha Zatzal had the following shayla. I daven Ashkenaz. That's my personal nusach. Today I'm davening in the Sfarad Shul. So Chazaras HaShatz, I obviously have to do according to nusach Sfarad. That's the house nusach. I'm being mispalav. I have to follow that minute. What should I do with the silent Shemon Esrei? So he says in the silent Shemon Esrei, I should daven the same nusach because of the svar of Lahaster Tvilosa.
Lahaster Tvilosa explains why you say in private Shemon Esrei before you say.
Yes, why the Chazaras HaShatz just doesn't daven once? We only see with one time. What does he have to do? He daven for the Tzibran for himself at the same time. What does he need? What does he have to daven twice for? So if you learn the Zidinian of Lahaster Tvilosa, it's a dry run for the out loud Shemon Esrei. So Rav Moshe co-opted that reason, and he said, Mameila, if I'm the Nusach Ashkenaz guy and I daven in Achsiri Sheshtivo, so I have to daven the silent Shemon Esrei also in Nusach Svar, because that's why I'm saying Shemon Esrei. Other Gdoilim, I believe, Rav Yoshev, Zatzal, and I think Rosh Lema Zalman too. They did not relearn the sugya that way, and they learned it's a machloikas among the Tanoim. And Ramayla, the time of the Hastat Filosa, was not according to the Tanoim that we paskin like. So, from their standpoint, in the silence from the silence from Esther, it could be different than the Chazaras HaShatz. So, they come to this conclusion. So, from their Shita is, in the silence from Esther, I could daven my own Nusach, and in the out loud from Esther, I daven the house Nusach. So, Ramayla, they have the same thing going when it comes to the issue of the same Talamot L'Brocha, that in the Silas Shemon Esrei I can say the same Brocha, and in Shemak Aleinu the same Talamot L'Brocha L'Vnei Eretz Yisrael, And then in the out loud Shmon Esrei, I'll have to do B'Sein Talamot L'Vrocha in Baruch Aleinu, because I'm davening now as a representative of my tzibur. This tzibur is a tzibur Eretz Yisrael, the tzibur is not a chutzlar tzibur. According to Rav Moshe Lechari, he couldn't do such a thing. Now, I think according to Rav Moshe, there's no shail in the first place what you should daven. It's very interesting. It's fascinating how Gedolim understand each other. One day, I was in one of many years back when I was a Rav Yoshe, was a Chatzadik L'Vrocha. So, you know, I brought up the subject. I said that the Gevelt, you know, thought that Rav Moshe was held to be a maker. So he said, no, he says, Rav Moshe wasn't a maker. He says, if you look at Rav Moshe in Hilchos Shabbos, and he gave me an example, that he assered the liquid soaps. He says, Rav Moshe in Hilchos Shabbos is a very big machmer, a very big machmer in Hilchos Shabbos. He says, but, he says, Rav Moshe's koyach, Rav Moshe had the koyach to be machria. Now, most the poskim don't undertake to be machria. Rav Moshe gave a clear-cut achro between the shittas. He brought his rias from Shas and poskim of who was right, and all the machlekes, basically, across the board. And tons of shaylas achroinim. Rav Moshe had his own view with his own rias of which was the ikar dei halacha based on his rias from Shas. We're talking not small shaylas of the gedolei achroinim, but Rav Moshe came was machria between them. He says Rav Moshe had the koyach to be machria. That was his koyach. So Rav Moshe would seem that from the way he formulates it, the same should be true of the same way that he held that a Ben Eretz Yisrael that went to Chutz La'aretz should start Zayin Cheshbon, the same way a Ben Chutz La'aretz that went to Eretz Yisrael should also start from Zayin Cheshbon. Why? Because at least while he's there, they displaced the need rain. So really everybody should be mispala for rain here. So why should you, and in your Medina they also need rain, so where is the kfias? Unless you'll say like this, that at least for the Ben Eretz Yisrael the minig is to say from Zayin Cheshbon, and there's no minig not to say in Chutz La'aretz, whereas for the Ben Chutz La'aretz there's a minig for him not to say. So Mameila, in other words, even though he comes to Eretz Yisrael and they're saying and they need rain, but his minig is not to say that. But I think that Rav Moshe's view would be that Rav Moshe apparently, I believe, held that the Iker is to follow the place that you're at. That, I believe, was Rav Moshe's view. That wherever you're at, you follow the din. So I would presume, in any hour, according to him, that you had to say, Lahastit philosophy would be Mechuyev. So, L'chayra, according to him, you would have to say, you couldn't daven, have a split between the two Shmon Esrei. That would never go, according to Rav Moshe. Such a possibility could not exist. That you couldn't have. So a Meila, so what would the din be, according to him? So the din would have to be, L'chayra, I just wanted to see, I thought I saw it here before, just to get back to the page I was on. Page on the 13 and 14. Okay, let's go back here. And okay, this will be about Igros Moshe. Where is it? I misplaced it. Oh. Pashtus, Rav Moshe seemed to, in fact, to hold like the day is that you follow wherever you are. That seems to be. But I'm not sure of that. Not clear. So the Shaila is, according to Rav Moshe's view, what you would do. But L'chayra should be Samech on the day is that hold to do the same bracha. And do the same bracha in both Shmon Esrei's. I mean, the same tal in both Shmon Esrei's. That's what I think that you would have to. If he had a daven for the Amud, that's what he would have to do according to Rav Moshe.
What happens if a Ben Eretz Yisrael went to Chutz La'aretz on the second day of Yom Tov? So Was there any doubt that he would?
No, that's different because that's a din in minhag hamakom. We're not machulik. We don't have a machleikus. There's no machleikus there. There's no question. The question is, everyone agrees in Chutz Lartz you have to keep 2 days. There, it's all there's 1 day. So if you come toich the tchum, then you have to keep 2 days. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael, I think all the flights that leave Eretz Yisrael, they are flights that leave Eretz Yisrael on Yom Tov Achron. In other words, what would be Yom Tov Achron for us? But I believe all of them work out that they don't come to New York, they don't land in New York until after Yom Tov is finished. So they could actually, come Mamash Matzah Yom Tov, walk into New York. But I think that's what they do, that they don't, that they leave late enough that they don't get, to our part of the world until it's clearly after Yom Tov. So this is a very, now, there are strange things in the halacha of the same town. Very strange. One, as we spoke about last week, is the fact that if I omitted the same talamot of Roch, I can make it up in Shema Kolenu. If I left out any other part, essential part of a Roch, according to the Torah, there's such a thing as essential features of a Roch. If I left out an essential feature of a Roch, it wouldn't help to put it into Shema Kolenu. So the Prima Gadim says the reason for that is that since we don't say it the whole year, it doesn't have to have a fixed place. Chazal didn't say it's definitely part of Baruch Aleinu. Baruch Aleinu is a bracha without the same tal. I say it half the year without the same tal. So they didn't change the nature of the bracha. Baruch Aleinu doesn't have to have a birchas, a motto in it, a bakoshes motto. It has to be a bakoshes motto in Shemon Esrei. It could be in Baruch Aleinu, it could be in Shema Aleinu. So that's one thing.
Isn't add any
of what? You can add all types of bakoshes in Shema Kolenu.
Isn't that why he found
that? That's the reason that it's there, but it doesn't have to be. If I left out another part of a bracha, the Torah holds there are essential parts of a bracha, and if I left one of them out, that wouldn't help me to put it into Shema Kolenu. Because if I left out an essential part of a bracha, then that bracha is dead. It's like I didn't make that bracha. So we have this notion that I could make up for it in Shema Kolenu. Now, what's strange, and this is very not easy to know why it's the case. If I remember Shema Kolenu, and I say with Saint Talamot Lebrocha, then I'm fine. Let's say I finished Shema Kolenu, I started with Say. Now what do? So I'll go back to Baruch Aleinu. Why don't I go back to Baruch Aleinu? If I can, it's suitable to make this a bakosha and Shema Kolenu, and I'm Yotzei Shemon Esrei with that. So why don't I go back to Shema Kolenu? What am I going back? Another bunch of brachas, another half a dozen brachas back.
Because he really belongs up there.
What?
Because he really belongs up
there. So yes, I understand. So what is this exactly? It's a pretty strange, what's the pshat? I don't know clearly what the pshat is. I've speculated at different times, but a clear-cut shot of why it is this way, I don't know. There's one thing that I could, perhaps, is the shot, perhaps, that I was thinking of today. The Gemara very strongly felt that tefillah is not a casual experience. Where it talks in one place, in Brochus, about a person that started davening Shemon Esrei, whatever, he says, and the Gemara says, what, he's talking to his friends? It's like dismissive, like Me'echa Tesi, the whole thing. It's like, you'd say a guy got up to start Shemon Esrei, put on his bathing suit and started to dance around the shul, He'd say, the guy flipped out, You're not in the swimming pool. You're standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Here, you call Gemini Shemon Esrei, you put on your swimming trunks, you took your shirt off, and you started dancing around the shul. So the guy flipped. So that was the Gemara's attitude. The Gemara says, if the daven without kavanah is like what I'm talking with my friend, then I can just be so casual about it. So from that standpoint, if we realize that tefillah is not at all a casual experience, it's a very serious experience. So be'etzem, the whole notion of going back in tefillah is inappropriate. If Chazal said that if I daven without being focused is inappropriate, like I have the chutzpah to go, I'm talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and all of a sudden, oops, I left something up and going back, you know, to fix it. Lozu aderach. So maybe that's the pshat. Maybe the pshat is that kol zman, the very strong preference of the kovod of tefillah, the kovod hashchina, is that you don't go back. You don't talk to a person that way. I don't start telling you a whole story. And all of a sudden I stop, or I left something out five paragraphs back, and I go back and start telling you the story again and fix it, you know. That's, you know, not a dignified way to present ourselves. So certainly klapei shchina is something that we shouldn't do. So kol zman that I don't have to go back, that's a tremendous milah in tefillah, that I proceed straight ahead. I don't double back. So if I'm able to daven without going back, so tefillah. But maybe once I have to go back already, so saifa, you're not davening normally. So then you might as well do it as, you know, so the real place it belongs is in Baruch Aleinu. So we go back and we do it right. After that's the pshat. It's interesting. My friend, the grandson of Rabbi Yoshua, told me that he says, Odom Godel apparently told him, he says he watched daven with Rabbi Yoshua, and he watched him very, very carefully. He says it was clear, he said, he never had to go back in tefillah. He was always mamish, you know, fully focused on what was going on. You know. So Epshur, that's the pshat. The pshat is, in other words, nishkin kovod hashchina, to go back. We have to go back, ain brera. But it's not kovod hashchina, really, to go back. So Mamela calls Mama going straight. We go straight. If we have to go back already, so we made a mess anyhow, so then we have to do it the right way. Absolutely, that's the pshat. There is a halacha which is not well known, and it's really less nogay at this time of the year than it is in the summer months, but it's important to articulate it. There are sins of omission and sins of commission. So when we start the same Talmud Levrocha in December, if we don't say it, that's a sin of omission. Omissions are relatively easy to fix. And the truth is, you don't even have to go back. Whoever you remember in Baruch Aleinu, you can just stop. And, you know, as long as you finish one phrase, say the same Talmud Levrocha, keep right on going. There's no chiv to go back, to put it exactly in the initial place where it's supposed to be in the Brocha. As long as it appeared in that Brocha someplace, it's fine. That's for errors of omission. Errors of commission are a lot more chomer. If I said the same Talmud Levrocha on Chol HaMoed Pesach, then I have to go back to the beginning of the Brocha. And I don't want to get into the Bedi'evitz now. What happens if I didn't? But it's a very serious question. But you have to go back. Why? Because then I have to redo the Brocha. Because I have to put forward a new text of the Brocha, which in effect omitted. Now I omitted the incorrect edition. So errors of commission are more difficult to fix than errors of omission. And that's true in all places. And this is, it's a very, very important halacha which is not well known. Oh. What's also interesting is how we decided in Eretz Yisrael on this man of Zayin Cheshvan. On what basis did we decide to start on Zayin Cheshvan? And I believe there's one day in the Mishnah that said Gibel Cheshvan too. But the Gemara says the following, that in Eretz Yisrael, they really need rain immediately after Sukkot. But weren't we mispalal at that time? Because Rabbi said, we're big maminim in tefillah. We're tremendous maminim in tefillah. And consequently, we're concerned that if we'll daven, the Rosh Hashanah is going to actually listen to us. So the Kohen Gadol was mispalal on Yom HaKippur. One of his tefillahs was that shelo yiskabru tefillahs over drochem. Some guy, some shlemazel, he has to travel someplace. And Nebuchadnezzar raining on him and his umbrella has a hole. So he turns his eyes to Rabbi Shalom. He says, Rabbi Shalom, this is really the pits. I'm miserable. Ever achmonas on me, save me. And this Yochid, because he's going to be mispalubal, Leib Shalom, because he really feels miserable that it's raining on him as he's walking along, that in Shemayim they could listen to his tefillah and stop the rain for the Gan's Klal Yisrael, because this shlemazel epis is getting rained on. Because his umbrella sprung off. So what did the Kohen Gadol, when he went, Lefnai v'lefnim, and Yom HaKippurim, had to be mispalubal, Shalom Yiskablu tefillahs over Yerucham. That his tefillah was to supersede and push away in Shemayim, it was mispalad, the Rabbi Nishan should push away the tefillah of the Ivory Drachim. So, this is the issue here. So, we're concerned if we started to be mispalad on Zion Cheshvan, on right away on Chof Gimel, Tishrei, right after on Isru Chag, very likely it's going to rain. And then we're going to give a miserable time to the people going back from doing the Aliyah L'Regel. They have to get home. So Mamela, they pushed off the Shela for 2 weeks. Shela's Kshomim. So the last of the people should manage to get back home.
Why do they have to get back home? All they have to do is leave Eretz Yisrael. Couldn't take more than 7 weeks.
No. So you have to, this is very interesting. This is an interesting problem. The Shela is, what exactly, how big Eretz Yisrael was. Let's see, even in the time of the Bayis Rishon. Now, Tosfos took something literally, there's a Tosfos in Bava Metzia, that I would not take that way, personally. It's presumptuous of me, but I believe that Gemara is clearly, and I'll prove to you in a moment, Lidaiti, Lanias Daiti, that Gemara is a Guzma. The Gemara talks about, there's a Chazal that Eretz Yisrael jumped like 40 parcels, 400 parcels by 400 parcels. A parcel is 8,000 amas, so approximately 3 miles. If you're going to tell me that Eretz Yisrael is 400 amas by 400 amas, 400 parcels by 400 parcels, means it's 1,200 miles in each direction. 1,200 miles, if you start from the Mediterranean, you're basically going to be down in the Persian Gulf. Now, there's no such metzias that was part of Eretz Yisrael. So Tosus, in fact, even asked Zakasha in Bob Metzia that the people are not going to be able to get home. They only have 14 days and a person goes 10 parsois biyoim, so they'll only get 140 parsois and won't reach the end of Eretz Yisrael. So Tosus says the 10 parsois biyoim is when you're traveling by foot, but if you can travel by horse and buggy, you can go a lot faster, so you'll make it home. But Tosus took it literally. I have not low yanti, the truth is, I just bumped in today, I was looking for something, the Kaft of a Ferach. Was one of the Rishonim who went to Eretz Yisrael, and wrote extensively on the Metzias of Eretz Yisrael. So I had the truth is, I should look if the Kaft of a Ferach touches upon this, someplace in the Sefer. But Lidaiti, it's Mukhrach from the Metzias, that it's a Guzma. So I said, how big Eretz Yisrael actually was. So Tosis' problem was the opposite problem. Tosis held even the 10 to 14 days wasn't enough. You need even more time to actually make it back to where you came from. So the Chayra, the Pshat is, we don't want to. Now you find that also in the Halacha, there's a similar notion that they didn't. Why don't we mention? Why do we start being mispalo? Rather, we're not mispalo, but we mentioned Masha Baruch Mer Geshem. So the Chayrat should have been from Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, because Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag really is Nidan Alamayim. It's the time nachwitz. So why don't we push it off to the end of the Chag? Because we're concerned that we won't say it B'Leiv Sholim, even though it's not about Kosher, it's just the Haidah. Why? Well, here I just made a Sukkah, and it's a Simon Klola if it rains. So basically, what am I going to tell the Rabbi Shalom? Listen, I need your help. Do me a favor, come next week. I don't need you now. What?
Put it in the bank.
Yeah, since I guess we would daven insincerely, so Mamela, they pushed it off until Shmini Atzeres, that we were potter from Sukkah. The rabbis would have pushed it to Simchas Torah. So that we should, when we daven, the tefillah should be taken in a serious fashion. But the last thing I want to touch upon is we're supposed to start B'Sein Ta'alumot L'Rocha 60 days after the equinox. Right? The Tkufas Tishrei is the equinox. The equinox, though, is on September 23rd. So if you make a cheshbon approximately, I don't know, to the day, but approximately November 23rd, we should be starting. And we're starting in December. So what happened? So it's interesting that we don't control the whole world around us. You know that the non-Jewish world had the change between the Gregorian and the Julian calendar. And in one fine day, they decided that the calendar was messed up, and they chopped out 11 days out of the calendar. Because they didn't have the system with leap years, so the calendar was out of whack. So they just said whatever day they were up to, they just jumped 11 days ahead. Today was December 4th. And now, okay, tomorrow, that's how it was declared by the Pope that today's December 15th. And the world went on December 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 11 days disappeared. So because of that, now what we call December 4th was really, in the old system, was November 23rd, except we just jumped 11 days. We're still on the cheshbon of the old system. The world jumped 11 days ahead. But we say December 4th is not December 4th. It's in actuality what? It's November 23rd. So we're still using the old system that they had before they made the correction.
Yeah. But according to that, what we call September 23rd is really September 12th. So we're still not 60 days after the Tkufa.
No, we kept the old system. We didn't change. In other words, we didn't change anything. In other words, they had the old system September 23rd. And November 23rd, now just November 23rd got switched by 11 days, so we're still counting from that. In other words, we kept exactly the same as we were before. We didn't change anything.
So who says that it was September 23rd that they kept as the Tkufa, the Goyim beforehand? Shouldn't they, since the equinox is an astronomical point, shouldn't they have been keeping it on September 12th? The move of Washington's birthday 11 days, I think.
Well,
in other words, the Tkufa is astronomically a point of the Earth. Where it is.
Yeah, in today's world, in today's world, it's September 23rd.
What I'm saying is, before they changed the calendar, did they celebrate the Tkufa on September 23rd? Presumably they didn't. Presumably they...
They didn't know, they didn't look at the Tkufa. In other words,
The Goyim knew what the Tkufa was.
No, they had no... It wasn't relevant to them. So it wasn't, you know...
The Goyim know what the vernal equinox is?
Yeah, they knew. But whatever it was. But in other words, what happened was, in other words, in history, it started on September 23rd.
So the question is, whatever day you're going to call it, the numbers...
Right, it's
just
now,
60 days later, you should make 60
so
days.
So we never changed. That's the point. It started off at a certain point in time. It was September 23rd.
No, but we have changed.
Because it's not 60 days.
Let's get the Goyish dates first.
It's not 60 days
Let's
anymore.
Say the vernal equinox is like day 270 in the solar calendar.
Yeah.
So... That means that we should be davening at day 310. So it doesn't matter what you call it. If the equinox is the 23rd today, then it should be the 23rd. Oh well, the reason it's the 4th is because we moved everything up 11 days. Well, then that means before they changed the calendar, they were keeping the vernal equinox on September 12th.
Well, the lights and the equinox today should be October 4th.
Yeah.
But they don't celebrate the two. So it's the 60-day period just to change what... If we're really keeping the way they kept it back then, we would still be 60 days. We would just be shifted.
We didn't shift. That's all that happened. That's all. And we should have shifted, but we didn't shift for whatever reason.
That would mean that they used to celebrate the Tkufa on...
Probably in our calendar. In other words, we didn't... Over the centuries, they lost. They messed up by 11 days. So basically, in other words, they wound up 11 days out of kilter. So we just didn't bother with those 11 days. In other words, we never adjusted to their dates, to change their dates.
Yeah, they didn't change the date in the solar cycle that they considered the Tkufa. They just changed what they called it.
Now, the change that happened between the Gregorian and the Julian calendar happened at the end of the year. Remember what...
Yeah.
So the Lysa, there's a disagreement between the Goyim, when Kratzmann comes
out.
It's Greek Orthodox, keep it in
January 6th, yeah.
Because they didn't...
So it happened, but the 11 days did disappear in July. It disappeared the end of December, sometime in December, I don't know the exact days.
That's why
the December 4th
date
is.
But then we're keeping
the wrong day. That's true. But that's, you know, it's one of the things that, as I said,
part of the Torah.
Yes, it's, you know. Okay, we'll come another time to it. More depth.
Around Birchas Hanama time, I looked into the sugya a little bit, and it sounded like in the year is 364.